In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're going to be doing part two. We talked last episode about domestic violence, gave you a lot of different statistics and really how prevalent it is. And in this episode, we're going to go a little bit into how do you know if you're in an abusive relationship, and also talk about perpetrators and why they do these things that they do. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing probably is what to do if you're in one of these relationships. And as usual, we're giving away a bunch of free stuff. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we're back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Rock on.
All right, we are here in the podcast Your Voice, Southfield Studios.
Yes.
The palatial Southfield Studios.
That word again.
It is. Palatial's awesome. With me is Matt Fox, as usual.
Hello, David.
Hanging out. We're just having a good Friday evening, recording some podcasts. And
I gave you the last call.
Shooting the shit? You did.
I gave you the last call.
Matt was he sacrificed the last...
Basil
last
Hayden.
Couple sips of the Basil Hayden for me, so he's stuck with his Cherry Coke.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. This is worse than that.
Well, so. Right. You're right about that. So thanks, folks, for joining us. Let me tell you where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. You find all kinds of cool stuff on the website, including lots of information. I was telling Matt, or I may have mentioned it last episode, I'm getting already a lot of bookings for the spring for grad nights and prom nights and graduation parties and college, dorm parties, yeah. Things like that. Yeah. This is cooking up right now.
How many can you do in one day?
In a day?
Yeah.
I've done three in a day before.
Wow. That's a lot.
Well, here's the thing. This goes back pre-COVID because... we had a little hitch there, but but we're probably going to be back on normal schedule this coming year. But there was one time I was traveling. So I booked through my website. I also booked through a couple different agents that I use. Mm-hmm. So I was traveling and I happened to be in Kansas of all places. So I'm in the middle of Kansas and I was booked for two shows. I was doing a high school at like 10 p.m., another high school at 1 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
And then in between those, I got a call and saying, hey, another guy bailed. He just called and said he's not coming. Can you do another one at the end of the night at 5:30 a.m.? It's like 2 hours away from you.
Yeah. So you came in like Mighty Mouse?
That's exactly what I did. So I did a show at 10, I did a show at 1, and then drove 2 hours and did a show at 5 a.m.
Wow. Yeah. That's a long night.
Yeah. And then had to get back to the airport by like 8-ish, 9-ish to get my flight back home.
Wow.
So yeah. So yeah, it's fun though. I like doing multiple shows in a day.
That's fair.
As long as, here's the thing, and you'll understand this, I didn't have to set up any sound systems during any of those shows.
Yeah.
Because that is,
that takes
set
that
up take, and take down. Yeah,
that takes a sound system.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that three times in a night.
No. I've been playing DJ weddings and events for a long time, and I've never done more than one event in a day.
Really?
Because of that fact.
Yeah, oh, because you're setup and tear down. Yeah. Yep.
No, back-to-back days, yeah, I've done 3 days in a row,
right.
But never two shows in a day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm booking up. So, check out the website. You can either... there's a phone number there. There's an email contact. There's all my social medias posted on my website. And speaking of social media, Facebook and YouTube, you can find me there. Both are Motor City Hypnotist. And Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, which are all Motor City Hypno.
H-Y-P-N-O.
H-Y-P-N-O. And as usual, we're always giving away free crap on the show.
Free crap.
Free crap. The free hypnosis guide is always there. The link's always in the show notes. It's a page and a half PDF that just goes through the basics of what hypnosis is, common questions, common myths and misconceptions, mm-hmm. how and why it works. It's just a nice handy little PDF to have if you're new to the world of hypnosis or if you're kind of skeptical about it. This will answer most of your questions.
Right.
On a very surface level, but it covers most everything you'll need to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, check the show notes because we always throw in some MP3 recordings or something that's you know, something free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Free crap.
Absolutely. Free crap. This episode is brought to you by Empower Your Mind for Success, A Hypnotic Guide. This is my new book. It's been published about a couple months ago. It's mm-hmm. been out for a couple months. It is available on Amazon. It is available on Barnes & Noble and anywhere you can get books. Any bookstore, if they don't have it on their shelves, they can order it. If you get it through Amazon, you can get a Kindle version or you can get the paperback. And at Barnes & Noble and any other bookstore, they will have the paperbacks as well.
Cool.
If you pick it up, which I would greatly appreciate, and you read it, leave me a review. That really helps me. Just like anything you buy on Amazon. I know I've said this before, but I go right to the reviews. And
yep.
I'm like, okay, is this worth buying? Is
right.
this a good product?
Mm-hmm.
So check out my reviews. Right now, I have all 5-star, which is fantastic. I'm glad.
You're batting
I'm glad
a thousand.
People like it.
You're batting
so
a thousand.
Far, I'm batting a thousand.
Yep.
So yeah, check that out. Buy the book. It's not a heavy read. It's 150 pages or just a little less than 150 pages. And I would appreciate it, and leaving a review would be very, very helpful.
And if you do decide to get the book
yep.
and you listen to the podcast,
yep.
when you read the book, pretend you're listening to Dave talk
mm-hmm.
and the cadence that you have when you do articulate, because it's the way the book is written is how you talk.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to do. That, and for all you authors or aspiring authors out there, you know what author's voice is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a style. It's a cadence, like Matt said, that, mm-hmm. that people have when they write. For example, anybody who's listened to any length of time knows I'm a huge Stephen King fan.
Mm-hmm.
If I opened a book that I hadn't read yet, and it was his writing,
mm-hmm.
I could probably know it within a few paragraphs
because
he's got a voice. Mm-hmm. He has a certain style.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, check out the book, read it, give me a review. That's fantastic.
Do it.
I would appreciate it.
Do it now.
Do I have that? What do I
do it?
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
Dang it! Where is it?
Do it live.
Yeah, we haven't heard that. We'll do that one.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
So speaking of what you talked about, imagine me speaking and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I it's in the works. It's a long way out, but I'm working on an Audible version of the book as well.
Awesome.
So that will be done in my voice. It's just I have to find time to. This sounds silly, folks. You audiophiles will understand.
Mm-hmm.
I record in my closet.
Yeah,
in my digital.
It's a best acoustic
recorder.
Yeah,
and it sounds fantastic.
It's got the best
probably
acoustic.
Just like this.
Yeah.
So
because we are kind of in a closet.
Yeah, we are a little bit of a closet, and we got all the sound dampening panels on the wall. But that's what a closet does.
Yeah.
All those clothes just soak up the sound. It's just.
Yes, sir.
There's great sound in the closet.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
So, what are we doing now?
It's time.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
That's how winning is done.
So, we just had Halloween last week, folks. At the time of this recording, Halloween was last Sunday.
Yes.
So, not even a week ago. So this story came up, and I thought, oh my gosh, this winner of the week just came out of me wanting to tell good stories and like let people know that there's humanity left in the world
mm-hmm.
and that there are good people out there. This is a great example of this.
And before you get into the
yes,
good part,
yes.
the bad part that happened to a neighbor of mine and their kid.
Yeah,
when their kid went trick or treating, he came home, opened up the candy bag. Opened up a Snickers, and inside the Snickers bar were Detroit Lions tickets.
That just made me choke.
People are just so mean.
I just saw a meme, something like that. something about, oh, you just won, and they're Lions tickets.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
No.
Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic. So the story comes from Italy, okay? So during Halloween in Italy, and I'll just read the first paragraph of the story.
All right.
During spooky season in Italy, you will often hear people say dolcetta or shazetta. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing those in the right, correct Italian pronunciation.
Shazetta?
Yep. Shazetta.
Shazetta. Okay.
S-C-H-E-R-Z-E-T-T-A. Shazetta.
All right.
Dolcetta. See, I have no idea if that's even an Italian accent. That could just be Borat talking. I like. It's very nice.
That's not Italian either, man.
No, that's not Italian. That's Kazakhstani.
Hey, what you doing with the thing in your pocket there? Hey, what are you doing?
What is this? Anyway, so those words mean a little sweet or a little joke. Okay. So it's trick or treat in Italian.
Okay.
That's what it means. Well, a great-grandmother in the UK recently had, well, why are they off, why are they referencing Italy and then this the woman's in the UK? I didn't catch that the first time through.
Interesting.
Doesn't matter. She's in the UK.
All right.
It's a great-grandmother. It's an older lady, okay. Great-grandmother in the UK. She had three little sweeties arrive at her door the night of Halloween, and they gave her the best Halloween of her life.
Okay.
When the three children by the names of Jesse, Olivia, and Walter arrived at the Newcastle home of 86-year-old Brenda Burden, she said with regret that she didn't have any treats to give them.
Aw.
She just didn't have anything to give.
She ran out.
Maybe. Or something happened where that, and it doesn't go into detail, but apparently she just didn't have it, maybe couldn't afford it, wasn't ready. Who knows? She just didn't have anything.
Gotcha.
The children replied, "It's okay, because sometimes making people happy and getting a nice big smile is reward enough."
That's
treat. What the kids said.
That's what the kids said. It's a
yes,
treat.
Yes, absolutely. So here's the thing. They went to the shop, bought some chocolates, a card, a pack of muffins, and a $10 note, which they brought to her door the next day.
Uh-huh.
They went back to the old lady's house the next day, and the kids addressed their card to the kind lady. Uh-huh. Alongside doodles of pumpkins and smiley faces, they wrote, "Thank you for being so kind. Hope your life gets better as you go on."
Okay. I got things going that I want to say, but just I just don't know if it'd be appropriate for...
No! No! Don't shut me up!
That last part again, Dave?
What places are you talking about?
That last part again?
"Thank you for being so kind. Hope your life gets better as you go on." Yeah, I know.
Okay, we're 86.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes, it's funny. Yes.
I love kids and what they do. They say the darndest
things. I don't know what we're yelling about.
Kids say the darndest things.
I know. It's just funny. That's funny. It's sincere and it's sweet, yes. But it is funny.
Very.
So Burden's family, that's the great-grandmother, said they've been amazed at the kindness of the kids and that the senior has been lost in happiness since meeting the trio.
That's great.
I mean, could be dementia, but I don't think so.
Stop.
So Danny Parker is Brenda's grandson. He told the BBC the family's has bought the kids some presents in exchange for their generosity and are keen to return the money so the children can spend it on something nice for themselves.
Aww.
So the grandmother's grandkids, great-grandkids stepped in and said, "Oh, we're going to take care of these kids." So
that's
anyway,
awesome.
great story overall. These three kids, they didn't like egg her house or, you know,
right,
kick her in the shins because she didn't have, you know, didn't have candy.
Trick or treat, smell my feet.
They just said, "Oh, well, you're nice. Right. You're kind. We're going to get you something." That's kind of the cool thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
Thanks for sharing.
The link to that will be in the show notes. You can look it up and yeah, have fun with it.
Dementia.
That's how winning is done.
Did you have a nice Halloween? Did you go to any Halloween parties yourself?
No. We just sat out and gave candy out.
Nice.
Yeah. Although here's the thing, and I, my wife always laughs because she says, "Oh, you're always mentioning me on your show," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, you're my wife. What else am I going to talk about?"
Right.
You know, because a lot of these things, you know, she gives me. Actually, she gives me ideas for shows all the time. She goes, oh, you need to talk about this. Oh, this would be a good one. So mm-hmm. she helps me out all the time. But we don't agree on certain things, mm-hmm. you know. And one of them is, you know, she got a big box of chips and popcorn,
mm-hmm.
like the mini, like lunch size bags.
Yeah.
The singles, you know, while they're maybe not single serving, but you know, the small bags.
Like the Better Made chips. Yeah.
And they were Better Made. It was a cheese popcorn and mm-hmm. the barbecue chips.
Yum. Detroit's own.
She also had a box of Milky Ways. Yeah, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Did you put a couple in the freezer for yourself?
I put one in the freezer. She says, that's it. The rest are for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
I scammed a couple more during a couple of days beforehand. So when the kids were coming up, I said to her, I said, what made you get the popcorn and chips?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, oh, I thought they'd be great for Halloween. I'm like, kids don't want that. They want the Milky Way.
Right. However.
Okay. Yeah.
However,
uh-huh.
popcorn and chips, you know, in the bags are actually somewhat popular. They actually kind of are.
Okay. See, for me, I'm thinking as a kid, and I'm like, whenever I went trick-or-treating, the houses that you hated
right.
and walked away muttering are the pennies,
uh-huh.
the apples, the chips.
The candy corn.
No, I like candy corn,
oh,
believe it or not.
You're a rare breed, then.
I am a rare breed,
yes.
And I've seen so many memes on people hating on candy corn.
Mm-hmm. But you know, when you stack the candy corn properly, it actually looks like a corn on the cob.
If you get them that high.
Yeah.
Before they tip over.
Correct.
Right.
What in blazes are you talking about?
I don't know. No, I actually didn't mind getting chips as a kid.
Because, yeah, see, you know, you I get just all thought candy, that was the crappy just, house. I thought, I want candy. That's what I want.
Right. I didn't enjoy the pennies.
Yeah, pennies are lame.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, yeah. So I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, because you asked about Halloween, what we did for Halloween.
Yeah,
I said, the only bad thing is the Milky Ways were all given away. And I'm like, why didn't you keep some of those? And I only got to smuggle out.
Were
like
they the full-size candy bars?
Yeah, full-size, yeah.
See, hey, the Wright House has got full-size candy bars.
Yep, and they went quick.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So.
back
to it. Because, you know, speaking of her giving away all my candy bars, we're talking about domestic violence.
Nice segue.
Not a great transition
or segue,
but
right.
whatever. And I'm of course, I'm joking. And I know domestic violence is not something to joke about, but we want to get into, last episode we talked about statistics and how many people, and honestly, just to hit on those real quick, like 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men have experienced domestic violence. Mm. And that's a shocking statistic if you think about it. I mean, think about, and I said it last episode, you're in a group of 20 people, 2 of them are a victim of domestic violence, at least, at minimum. And it just blows your mind sometimes. No, so
before you dig into this, because you're going to talk about perpetrators, what
right,
have you.
Right, yep.
Can both parties in that relationship both be abusive to one another?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
It can go both ways. And there's not always just one victim or one perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, and a lot of my clients over the years, here's one of the things that happens. They'll come in and they'll talk about, and during a therapy session, we talk a lot, and things will come up that I will be like, do you think that's typical, or do you think that's something that's usual, or think that's something that you should accept? Maybe accept is not a good word, but that you should kind of just dismiss. Because a lot of times, I've for example, I had a client. Her name was Jody. Just make up a name. In a conversation, she said something to the effect of, "Oh yeah, I was gonna go out with my friends, but my husband told me I couldn't, and took my keys." And to her, that seemed like something that was just like, okay, I just can't go. But I said, do you think that's something that's typical, or do you think that's something that somebody should be doing, as far as like telling you you can't and then taking your way of, I guess, getting there, to like removing your means of transportation to keep you at home? And she didn't even like get it. It's like it wasn't even in her head that there was anything wrong with that. And these are the kind of subtle things that I talk about to know when you're a victim of domestic violence or abuse. He told her, here's the first thing. I don't get this. Either way, wife or a husband telling the other partner, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to do it. To me, that never made sense. Unless it was something like, oh, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't be driving 10 hours at night because I'd be concerned for you. Unless it's safety related or you're just concerned right. about the person's welfare. But for him to just take her keys and say, no, you're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's going out with her friends. What's wrong with that?
Right.
But he wanted control. He wanted to keep her from having fun with her friends. So let me give you some symptoms that you may be in an abusive relationship.
Okay.
Anyone that calls you names, insults you, or puts you down. That's a form of abuse. That is it's intimidation, it's degradation, it's just putting you, hoping to put you on a lower level so that person has control. Prevents you or discourages you from going to work, school, or seeing family members or friends. Story I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
My client wanted to go out with her friends. The husband said, no, you're not going anywhere. Took mm-hmm. her keys. Again, they don't want any outside contact. They want to keep that person isolated. Tries to control how you spend money, where you go, what medicines you take, or what you wear. Here's the thing. I've been working as the therapist for 30 years. Many of my clients are on medication.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. So I have had many situations. Typically, it's the man towards the woman, but I've had a lot of female clients. Their husbands would say, I don't want you taking that medication anymore. Mm. You shouldn't be taking that. In fact, I had one client whose husband actually said, well, you got to pop all these pills to be normal. What's wrong with you?
Mm.
It's like I said, it's degrading. That's the word I keep coming back to. And if somebody tries to control how you do these things, that's a problem. Acts jealous or possessive or constantly accuses you of being unfaithful. Now, this one, I have more than one. I multiple stories of a husband who has, or a wife, either way, it's happened both ways, mostly with men towards women, accuse their wife of being unfaithful. Oh, you're cheating on me. Who are you seeing? What are you doing? And I'm not kidding. A large portion of those situations, the man was already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He was already cheating with someone.
Hmm.
He was displacing that guilt and that accusation towards his partner. Well, here's a big one. Gets angry when drinking alcohol or using drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought, and I've learned this over the years, I think alcohol brings out the true person.
It's truth serum. It can really be truth serum. Yes.
Because, and I can go back a little ways, and I can bring this up because this person is no longer in my life or around.
Mm-hmm.
I can just say it because I don't even think she's around.
Okay.
It was my brother-in-law, ex-brother-in-law from years ago, okay. Like 20, 30 years ago. Nice guy. Very, you know, nice to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would hang out here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But when he started drinking, he was a maniac.
Different person altogether?
I remember we had a family reunion at one of my relatives' houses, and he was out in the street punching windows out of cars and threatening to beat up my, at that point, my like 62-year-old dad.
Oh my gosh.
So again, little tangent there, but I believe alcohol brings out the real person underneath. I really think it does.
We had a young lady chime in.
Yes.
Renee, we
just saw Renee a couple weekends ago for her son's wedding.
She said, thank you for talking about the subject. I love your podcast.
Oh, I know. She said that when we were down there.
Yeah.
In fact, she came up to me and said, that's how Wooden is done. She did.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
tell
excellent.
Her. Yeah. Oh, Renee, I'm so glad you checked in. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Oh, we had a blast at that wedding too, by the way.
Yes.
A little offshoot for Renee, right. But tries to control whether you can see a healthcare provider. Again, we talk about drinking alcohol and drugs, like tells you when you should or shouldn't go to the doctor or can or cannot go to the doctor. Threatens you with violence or a weapon. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Hits, kicks, shoves, slaps, chokes, or otherwise hurts you. Now, here's something that I've seen a lot over the years. Somebody will be abusive towards their partner, and the perpetrator will say, oh, relax, I didn't hit you, I just shoved you.
Like that's there's a difference. Same thing.
Yes, exactly. They will diminish their acts based on the severity of what they're doing.
What if they're punching a wall or a door?
Yep. Blames you for his or her violent behavior and tells you that it's your fault. That's a huge one.
Hmm. Repeat that again.
Blames the victim for his or her violent behavior and tells you that it's their fault. Tells the victim it's your fault. You made me do this.
Okay.
If you hadn't been such a bitch, I wouldn't have hit you. Hmm. That kind of thing. That is a big issue with perpetrators.
Hmm.
Threatens to tell friends, family, colleagues, or community members about things that are private and personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like threatens to say, well, you know, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to tell them that, your sexual secrets or things mm-hmm. that you've told me in private mm-hmm. or things that you don't want other people to know.
Right.
Like holding that over your head. So a lot of these things, and here's the thing, people get used to these. It could start out small, it could start out big, but they'll get into these relationships and find out way in that this has been going on for years and they're just now getting it. They're just realizing it.
And a lot of this that you just said doesn't mm-hmm. really have to be face to face. It can
no,
be on the social
you're right.
media.
Especially now.
Yes.
There's this big, and I've seen this a lot, there's this big kind of turn towards this passive aggressive violence mm-hmm. in social media, text, mm-hmm. messages, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I see that happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So the big question comes up, it's like, well, why would it, because I can say these things, and I know most of you listening would be like, what in the hell is wrong with people? Who would do that?
Well,
a lot of people would. Yeah. And let me tell you why. Why does somebody become abusive? Why do partners, male or female, why do they become abusive?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Here's the whole underlying principle of this. Abuse comes from the desire to control someone. It's to maintain power and control the other person.
Mm.
Now, where do you think that comes from? If somebody's trying to control and trying to maintain power.
They were probably raised in some type of atmosphere, environment in that growing up.
They could have been. Yeah, they could have been like a very, the old cliche thing would be like a very militaristic father who laid down rules and said, you're doing this and you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that I found over the years is people's desire for control and to maintain power comes from a lack of self-esteem.
Hmm.
They're not confident enough in their in themselves to keep this other person, so they have to resort to these threats to keep the person.
Hmm.
It really is. I've seen that so much, and I hate to say it this way, but it's crude, so forgive me, but it's like small dick syndrome. Like somebody doesn't have anything to offer, they got to demand mm-hmm. and like control the other person.
So, Dave, what do you drive?
Hmm?
Do you drive a truck or a Nissan Versa?
No, I get an in between. I'm an explorer. Yeah, right. So why do abusers again? The underlying thing here is control and power. And again, I think a lot of it comes from a lack of their own self-esteem, but there are a lot of other things that play into that. Why do they have low self-esteem? Why do they feel bad about themselves enough that they would hurt someone else?
Mm-hmm.
One is they have a disorder. And there are things, and we did a whole show on personality disorders a mm-hmm. while back. The mm-hmm. big one is an antisocial personality disorder. They're sociopath or psychopath. There's a disconnect in their brain from reality and what's appropriate
mm-hmm.
and what's not appropriate. And it can be sadistic. It can be very, very evil. Mm-hmm. It can be if somebody has a personality disorder like that. The second biggest thing, and I'm not saying these are not in any order, but the second thing that could be happening is most perpetrators were abused as children or as young people themselves.
Okay.
They act out dysfunctional behavior because it was what was done to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they were raped as a child or molested, they tend to be the ones that act on that and do that when they get older,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. That cycle is always moving.
Hmm.
Another big one is generally they just have anger issues.
Hmm.
They're angry. There's angry people. And anything that makes them angry, there's no There's no governor on it. It just goes zero to 100.
No filter.
And at that point, I don't care who you are. I'm going to hurt you. Hmm. There's just no filter. There's nothing to hold that back.
Because folks say, I just see red. Well,
yes,
exactly. That's a problem.
Well, and I've said this a million times in therapy too. Anger always comes from something else. Anger doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's either frustration, sadness, embarrassment. It always comes from another emotion. Anger can't exist by itself without some other emotion driving it.
Right.
It's just the way it is. Hmm. They have control issues. They want to be in charge. They don't want anybody else to say that they don't want anybody else taking over. They don't want anybody else making decisions. They just want to control. It's that. You know, it's the micromanager at work mm-hmm. that wants his hands on everything. It's like, no, we're doing it this way. That's the way it's going to be done. That happens. And I'm just going to read down. They're afraid. They lack empathy. They're defensive because of their anger and their issues. Mm. And when they get backed in a corner, they just want to fight. That there's no accepting responsibility. It's always, I'm going to win no matter what. Doesn't matter what I have to do.
It's everybody else's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's everybody else's fault. So these are the reasons why perpetrators do the things they do. And these are not, none of these are acceptable. I'm just saying this is what drives people to have that kind of character. Now, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
If you are in a relationship and you are the victim, and I've said this 100 times over the years, if it happened once, it's going to continue. And I know that's cliche.
Mm-mm. It's not.
It's going to continue in one form or another. It just doesn't magically resolve itself. So here's the thing. Do you want to spend your next 2 years, 5 years, 30 years? I've seen people stay in abusive relationships their whole lives, mm-hmm. and they never get out. Do you want to spend your life in that type of a relationship? So you have to make a decision early on. If this is somebody that you're with, and this is the other thing that drives me crazy, they'll say, well, I love the person. Like, well, that's all good and fine.
Right.
You know.
But what about yourself? Don't you need to love yourself as well?
Matt, you hit it right on the head. And I'm like, well, the problem is you love this other person more than you love yourself mm-hmm. to allow that to happen.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That you hit it exactly what I was going to say.
Thank
Bam.
You.
Bam.
See, you taught me.
There you go. Matt the therapist. We'll get you there. Yes, we're going to do it. So here's the thing, folks. If you are in a relationship like this, whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. You need to seriously evaluate where you're at. And if your partner has any of these behaviors, that's a problem, folks. And here's the thing. I've worked with a lot of couples. I've helped couples get past a lot of this. If the perpetrator is not willing to be open and honest and to work on things, you need to get out. Mm-hmm. That is the main thing. They have to be willing to change. They have to acknowledge their faults, and they have to work with you and a professional to get to where they need to be.
And it takes time.
It does take time.
And patience.
Yes. This is not, think of this, most people's dysfunctions, and we're all, like I said, we're all left up. We all have issues. Mm-hmm. All of our dysfunctions have developed since we were children. You don't just flip a switch and change in a day.
Right.
It does take time, especially with these very ingrained, controlling, possessive type behaviors. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like I said, if it's a personality disorder, like antisocial, or you have some kind of psychotic break, that's totally different. But some types of personality disorders may never get corrected. It may never happen.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. Because these are very character, deep-driven, embedded character issues. And yeah. those sometimes may never change. But the thing is, you have to look out for yourself. And as Matt said, you need to love yourself enough to say, I deserve better than this. Mm-hmm. I do not have to stay here. So,
and it's very difficult. It is very difficult.
And
for lack of a better term, it's a difficult trigger to pull.
Yep.
Because you have to be ready for everything that's going to come at you.
And it's not easy. And right. I'll say this 100 times. It's never easy, because if it were easy, you'd already be gone. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it to make the change, whatever. If it's financial, if it's there are resources. So here's the thing I want you to do. If you're in this situation, you need to talk to someone, a professional, a therapist, a counselor. Get to somebody and talk to them about it and figure out what you want to do. The other thing is, if you're in a situation where you're physically threatened or you feel like you would be in danger if you left, definitely talk to a professional. I mentioned this, I think, at the beginning of last episode. Mm-hmm. National Domestic Violence Hotline.
The number?
1-800-799-7233. It's all confidential information. They will direct you and get you to where you need to be.
And that'll be in the show notes.
That'll be in the show notes for sure.
Perfect.
So please take care of yourself, folks. If you're in a relationship, make the change. Start. Be proactive. Don't wait for something bad to happen. Mm-hmm. Get out now. You have, and I tell people this, why would you want to spend the next 40, 50 years of your life miserable?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something. Yeah, you could be happy.
Yeah,
really.
You could be happy with that person still. Work on it together.
Exactly.
And if it doesn't work, then the two of you come to a consensus and make a decision that's going to help you both.
Absolutely. And I've said this again too with couples. Divorce or ending a relationship is not necessarily a bad thing. It might be the right thing for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
That is the key thing to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And if both of you are better off apart, that's what should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Crazy. What's that, Matt? So, okay, folks. Yeah, definitely do that. I know this was kind of a heavy topic, but I felt it as important. And again, because it was domestic violence awareness month mm-hmm. last month, I wanted to get this out. So
good. Thank you for that.
Cool, folks. Be safe. Again, look for help if you need it. All the information will be in the show notes. Please, please take action. In the meantime, folks, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.